check out Rush Collectibles' awesome horror figures, including the first and only Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey 2 figures. For more information, go to rushfigures.com.
Remember, in the course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I am one of your friends, Dave. We're joined, as always, by your other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing pretty all right. I gave blood yesterday, so I'm recovering from that. I gave it to a friendly vampire who lives next door. So, no, I'm just kidding. It was one blood or whatever they're called. The people with the red buses. I don't remember what they're called now.
Are you feeling a little woozy, man?
I'm feeling woozy here.
Okay, well, it's good to give blood. Help out. There's always a need.
True.
I give blood occasionally, but it's very difficult for me because I have a horrible fear of needles. I do not like needles.
That's fair.
I had to go to the doctor a week or two ago and had to go, you know, do the whole lab, the yearly labs. And, oh my God, I was like, oh geez, I'm like, I cannot look. I have to look away. I have to try to distract myself. It's not that it hurts or any of that. It's just, I don't know. Well, I can watch all this wild ass shit and movies and gore, and I can giggle about it and whatever else, but you put a little needle in me and I just, I don't know.
I mean, I'm the same way. Like I can't watch it while it's happening. You know, Kayla, weirdly enough, Kayla, for the first time ever yesterday, she had a reaction to like giving blood. We were literally about to leave and she's like, oh, I don't feel so good. I think I need to sit down. And, I had to usher her to a chair so she didn't just sit down on the floor. She's been stuck with needles a million times. You know, she's been to the doctor and stuff. And so she's usually good with needles, but like, I can't look at it. Like if they do it, I'm fine. But if I see it go in, it makes me queasy. It's just weird.
If I watch it, it's worse, but even I know, I still know. And it still makes me, it makes me like, I mean, it's, Monica's the same, right? She's diabetic. She gets stuck all the time. She's always given blood for one thing or another or testing something or one thing. But I mean, I one time went and gave platelets or whatever they call it, you know, that, whatever it is, right? You know, it takes a little longer, right? Where they
they give you back your blood cells.
Yeah. They cycle through. It takes like 45 minutes. That was the worst 45 minutes of my life. I mean, I'm literally get towards the end. And I'm like, I don't know if I can make it. The room was spinning. I thought I was going to die. The whole process. I mean, I was squirming the entire process. And I literally sat there and thought, why did I think this was okay?
And I'm assuming you did the double arm where they take it out of one and give it back in the other.
Yeah, I believe so. I think that's what they did.
I mean, they had that before.
Yeah, they had these. It was a really nice chair. You know, it was all laid back. They had something on TV and, you know, and all this and that. And I did everything they said, you know, make sure I ate something and blah, blah, blah. But it's just the whole process was just, it was killing me. And I didn't think I broke out in a sweat. The lady came over and asked me if I was OK. And I was like, I think so. How much longer I got? And she's like, oh, there's only like 10 minutes. Okay, I can make it. I can make it. And I almost didn't make it. I finally, when I got done, I stumbled out of the car and I sat there for a few minutes with the air blowing, trying to gain my capacity. Oh, it was horrible.
Yeah, platelets are rough because they stick you twice and you're hooked up to the machine and everything else. And like, I mean, obviously it's a great thing to do because it's, you know, helpful to people who need, you know, platelets. And, you know, especially if you have a pretty common blood type, they're always in desperate need. Weirdly enough, I can't give platelets because my platelet count is too low. Not like concerningly low, but it's just under their threshold because they like high platelet counts. But yeah, I did it once and it's not fun because you basically sit there with your arms straight for like an hour and it hurts.
Yes.
I mean,
and I mean, even despite all my needles, I can't do it. I mean, I have like, you know, I have, you know, a fused disc in my neck and it's sitting, you know, I have some issues with my sciatic nerve. I just can't do it again anyway. Besides, I just can't sit. I can't sit still for 45 minutes. I at least have to shift. And they jump you if you shift. Oh, you start shifting around, they're like, "Are you going to sit still?" I'm like, screw you. I'm the one in the chair.
You're like, my ass hurts.
You want this from me? I need a little more accommodation here.
Oh, man.
No, never again. But, you know, I tried. I have given blood a few times, but it's been a while, and I don't, unfortunately, just don't know if it'll be anytime soon, because it bugs me. It gets in my head. That's one of my things. I don't know. It's like that thing where I can rationally think through, nothing's going to happen. I know that and everything else, but it's just, even if I don't watch it, I feel it. I'm like, oh my God, I know it's there. It's there. It's there. I can't watch anybody else. It's just that thing, I guess. I don't know. I don't know if I have some traumatic thing in my past. I mean, I don't know. I don't like doctors. I don't like hospitals. Monica and I have had discussions. We've traced back what we think some of these things maybe have stemmed from. I'm not going to go into all this, but I did have a little, I won't say traumatic experience, but a jarring, life impacting experience, seeing someone when I was a child. And I'm not saying I was forced into an issue, but it was something, pretty impactful as a child that I think has caused a lot of this residual feelings, but even being aware of it doesn't help me any. But,
And it's, it was kind of the same for me for a long time. Cause when I was younger, I was hospitalized, and they took a lot of blood from me cause I had something wrong with me. They didn't really know at the time. They did it by the time I left, but yeah, I'm the same way, which I mean, realistically, I know this is a horror podcast, but phobias are one of the biggest drivers for like horror. So I guess it's kind of related. Needle phobias, blood phobias, doctor phobias. I mean, it's all kind of correlated.
Yeah. No, I mean, I know it's a slight but phobia driven horror movies are the worst for me. Like I'm a bit claustrophobic, right? I not like horrible, but if I'm in a tight enough place or feel confined enough, I will go berserk.
Yep.
And to the point of like we have a laundry room, right? And it's not like it's horribly small. It's not, but it's a small enough room. But if I feel confined in that room, if somebody is like at the door or doing something and I feel trapped, I'm like, you got to move or I'm coming through you. And so like Buried Alive type movies and things like that, I can't. I guess you would classify it as a fear of heights, but it's not the heights don't bother me. It's the falling part, right? I know people say that, but that is what it is. I can be up high, look out. If I feel safe and secure, I'm fine. But I can't like go out on a balcony and lean over and look where I that feel. You know, it's like I can be in a room or in a building and look out and be fine. So movies like that, that are set in those kind of scenarios drive me mad. So it's like that is a definite thing. I can watch 30,000 ways that people are tortured, cut, bled out, done this and that, didn't bother me. I mean, it's like, you might cringe a little, but if you hit one of my things, I'm waiting because see, I don't like turtles either. I had a traumatic experience with a snapping turtle when I was a child that just, ugh, I do not like turtles. I think they're disgusting. And, but I don't know that there's been a really valid horror movie to tap into that. I don't like frogs either. I think frogs are just disgusting little things that, I hope I don't offend anybody, but I think she'd just be stomped into oblivion. And
it's funny.
Disgusting.
Well, it's funny because like I live in Florida. So for people out there who don't know, we have a lot of like wildlife. And so we have a turtle that comes around pretty frequently. So anytime it comes around, I take pictures and I send it in the group chat with Dave and Monica and Kayla. Mm-hmm. And I do it with the express intention of bothering him. So
do not like them. Oh, I do not like them. But it's funny because I love Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Right.
But they're cartoon and fun and they're ninjas. But
they are.
Real turtles. Mutants. That's right. Real turtles just creep me out. And like I said, I had a traumatic experience. And it's not like I think a turtle's gonna hurt me. This just are disgusting. And I've seen those viral videos of the turtles that move fast and scurry fast. That's my nightmare. That is, I mean, I literally would just lay down and I'd be like, kill me. I'm done. I can't handle this scenario. So maybe that's something we'll tap into sometime and discuss because phobia driven movies really do. They really do hit me hard. And I think it's, you know, if it's, but I bet it, I think, you know, in that at the core of horror, right? There's certain things, right? You, while there's this unbelievability about a lot of horror, right? You know, just some of this stuff's not going to happen, but they touch on core fears still, even if it is a reanimated guy in a hockey mask or a guy haunting your dreams or whatever it might be. There's still a lot of things there that touch it at those fears and those phobias. And that's that's what it is. That's what true terror is, right? If you can relate to it, it makes it all the more terrific.
Well, and I think it also goes into it that I think all of us are scared of the unknown. So the less you know about something and the less that is provided to you, the scarier it can be. So that's why I think a lot of people like really stick to horror, because horror does provide sort of an outlet for those fears. It's great. That is actually a very good topic of conversation that we just randomly stumbled upon that. I think you could definitely, I mean, you could write a whole, you know, book about that, you know, the crossovers between, you know, horror and phobias and all of that. Cause there's, I think all of horror does stem from a phobia of some sort. You know, even if it is something as simple as the fear of the unknown. So that's something we could talk about sometime.
I could be wrong, but I do believe Wes Craven said that Nightmare on Elm Street derived from some horrible nightmares he had as a child. And that stuck with him, right? Of how, you know, how nightmares can be so terrifying and how some of your true fears can come out in nightmares. And it, you know, kind of spun out of, well, what if there was someone who could manipulate and use that? And that was his, you know, forte and his battleground, so to speak. And that's why it's a success, right? Because a lot of our fears and stuff do, we let loose when we're asleep. And sometimes that's what they really crop out, you know, and, you know, nightmares are a thing and people wake up and the worst is when you have a dream or a nightmare and you wake up and it takes you that moment to recalibrate. And you're like, okay, where am I? Is this true? Is it real? Where am I? You know, for that moment, you're like confused as to what reality is and what it's not. And so, And, you know, and it's, I mean, that's true, right? Everybody's got their beliefs of what this is and that is and what happens when you die and happens when this and happens when that. But there's no definitive proof one way or another. So, it is all very unknown. So even I'm not going to go down certain roads with it, but even the most preposterous stuff created in movies is not as preposterous as what some people believe in real life. You know what I mean? It's not, I'm not doing that to diminish anybody's beliefs or anything else, but it's, you know, at its core value, face value, is it any more unbelievable than the other? Who knows? Right.
Yeah.
So, but that's okay. Just spent 15 minutes down the road. But that's okay. It's a good discussion. And again, I think that could make a good episode sometime if we have a hole or want to do a bonus episode or something, or who knows, right? And you say something about a book. I'm sure somebody's probably written that book. So who knows?
I bet so. I'm going to write that book now.
There you go. Go for it. So, let's move on because we've got a lot to talk about today, obviously. Before we dive into any more, outside of the blood donating rain, thank you to our wives, our listeners, and our followers for all your support and everything that you do. Ike, besides giving blood, did you watch anything this week?
I'm still watching Supernatural, so not a whole lot to report back on that. We are up to season 3, so we're rocking and rolling.
Yep, first 5 seasons are exceptional, and very good stuff. I think we're in season 9. But I did also watch the movie Would You Rather from 2012 on Hulu. I don't know. I never watched this movie. It slipped completely under radar. It's got, you know, what's her name? Now it's completely shot the die. It's got Jeffrey Combs in it. What's her name? Is it the Pitch Perfect? Brittany Snow. That's it. Yeah. God, I could not think of her name for some reason. It's got the old lady that plays Sheldon's grandmother on Big Bang Theory. She's in it.
Okay. Yeah.
And stuff in it, man, it was pretty good. I've heard some people say some things about it online, And I thought, you know, I've never, for whatever reason, that movie flew under my radar. And I gave it a watch, and it was pretty damn good. So I'd advise people, if you haven't seen it, to go out and watch it again. It's called Would You Rather? It's on Hulu. And maybe somewhere else, but I watched it on Hulu. So, all right, then. Let's move on, and let's get into our weekly segment.
Stomp the co-host.
And this episode, we are back to, oh, my favorite, Stump the Co-host. Because I feel like the Stump the Co-host is just for me. Because I'm the one that seemingly always gets stumped. Of course, Ike is the 2023 champion of Stump the Co-host. And so far in 2024, we have played four times, and Ike has won three of the four. For those of you who may be new or have not heard us play Stump the Co-host, Ike and I have identical horror trivia card decks, and we each choose two cards out of our decks. They're shuffled. We don't look at them. We just pick two out of the deck. Each card has two questions, so it's a total of four questions. And we alternate asking these questions, and hopefully it's, you know, win, lose, or draw. That's what happens for the day. We do keep track, see who wins for the year. So Ike's trying to defend his crown. I am trying to steal it from him, and I am already in the hole. So, but there's a lot of playing time left, so let's see what today brings. Ike, are you ready to play Stump the Co-host?
I sure am.
All right. I always put you on the spot and make you go first. Oh, I'm going to take it today, and I'm going to go first.
Sounds good. All right. Your first question is, this film written by Quentin Tarantino about a gang of vampires in a bar was also made into a TV series.
Well, would that be From Dusk Till Dawn?
Sure is.
Woo-wee. All right. I'm going to take every celebration I can. I am somehow up 1-0. Can we get a rain out? Is there a rain out in this game? Because I can't take this. All right. Never mind. Ike, your first question. What astrological event occurs during the 2017 movie Veronica that causes the character to invoke harmful spirits?
That would be a solar eclipse, I believe.
That would be a solar eclipse. I have no clue what any of that is, so I'm glad I didn't get that question.
I have seen that movie, too. It's a Spanish-language film on Netflix, I believe.
Ah, well, okay. All right. Well, you tied it up, so celebrating's done. Let's go. Bring on my second question.
All right. What do the gang of killers wear for disguises in the 2011 movie You're Next?
You're Next. Oh, God. Shit. I have seen this movie. Why am I'm going to say, can I take a shot in the dark? Because I totally cannot remember any of this. I'm going to say, I don't know. I'm going to say some animal masks.
You are correct. They do, okay. In fact, wear animal masks.
I thought that's what it was. I was picturing, I can't remember which one. I was picturing one of them, and I thought, is that movie? I can't. Oh
yeah, the cover actually has a guy with has like a wolf or something.
Okay,
mask.
Okay, yeah, that's what I'm picturing. Okay, well that's, oh God, I know I've seen that movie, but it's like I can't remember it much of it. I'm like, when you're like put on the spot, it's hard to just on cue call that movie up. Right. Movie you only seen like once or twice. So, all right, oh here we go. What 2006 horror film about an alien plague was directed by Guardians of the Galaxy director James Gunn?
Alien plague. Yeah. I mean, Guardians of the Galaxy was James Gunn, so alien plague. James Gunn. I feel like I should know this. It was from 2006, you said?
2006, yep.
Okay. Alien plague, 2006, James Gunn. I'm almost positive that I've seen this movie. And I feel like as soon as you tell me, I'm going to be like, oh, son of a bitch. So I'm trying to think, what movie did he do that early? Because that would have been early on in his career. 2006. I don't think it's the Faculty, because I thought the Faculty came out in like 99. That's the only movie I could possibly think that. Is it the Faculty?
It is not. It is called Slither.
Oh, I've not seen that movie, but I know it has, oh my God, what is his name? Nathan Fillion in it.
Really? See, I've not seen that movie either, but that totally just changes my perspective. I love Nathan Fillion.
I'm pretty sure it's like a horror comedy, if I recall correctly. I could be wrong.
Huh. All right. So I'm still up 2-1. Let's see if I get this one, I can at least guarantee a draw. So what is my third question?
All right. What is Norman Bates' hobby in the movie Psycho?
His hobby. Oh, my God. I should know this. I've seen this movie 50 million times. Oh, I'm just going to go out on a limb and I'm going to say, is it stamp collecting?
It is not. It is. It's taxidermy.
Oh, OK. Yeah, okay. I get that. All right.
Stamp collecting may also be the sign of a serial killer. That is not up to me, but that does make sense. That tracks.
I don't. Taxidermy sounds like a very weird hobby to me. But okay, I get that. So, all right. Well, you're still in this. Here is your third question. Who are the only two actors who have faced off against an alien, that's capitalized, alien as in from the Alien movies, a Terminator, and a Predator?
Okay, the only two actors. So Arnold Schwarzenegger is for sure one of those. Alien, Predator, and a Terminator.
Now it's Alien capitalized, so it's like speaking of the Alien franchise of movies.
Yeah,
not just Alien in the generic term. So it's basically what two actors, I guess, who have been in the an Alien movie, a Terminator movie, and a Predator movie.
Okay. Wait. So I guess Arnie wouldn't have been in. He's not in any of the Alien movies. So no, Arnie isn't. Okay.
I like how you call him Arnie. Like you're on a.
We're on a first name basis.
Friendly basis. I wish I was on a first name basis with Arnie.
Okay. So I retract my Arnie statement because it's not Arnie, but I want to say. It's the guy who plays he clones himself in the Alien franchise. Oh my God, what is his name?
Well, that's kind of what you have to come up with. That's what
I know. Oh man, it's not John Hurt. It's not his character. No, it's I'm pretty sure he was in Alien 2. Oh man, it is not Bill Paxton. He was, because he was only in Alien 2, but I don't think. Well, was Bill Paxton in one of the, what's it called? Or what's that? There's that black guy too that like is famous for his scene in Predator where he's like shaking the other guy's hand. Oh my God, there's so many people that this could be. Okay, I'm just going to admit defeat and say that I have no clue.
Okay, the two are. Lance Henriksen.
That was literally who I was going to say. I know that. Oh, my God. Okay.
And the other is Bill Paxton.
So, but if you'll excuse me, I'm going to jump off the roof real quick.
well, not yet. Let's finish the game so I can win.
Fair.
All right. So here's my fourth question. If I get this right, I have secured a win in this round. So no pressure, Dave. No pressure.
Did I get two questions right? Or I thought I only got one right.
No, you've only got one right, but I've got two. So if I get this right, you can't catch me. If I get it wrong, you can still tie me.
Sorry, my brain was overprocessing the whole alien information. I thought that was my fourth question, so don't mind me.
that was only your third. So,
all right, I'm almost positive that you're going to get this.
Don't say that. Every time you say that, I pretty much get it wrong.
I would be incredibly surprised if you got this wrong.
I have enough pressure on me already, and you just added to it. Go ahead.
What TV show remake is based on a 1985 movie starring Michael J. Fox as a high school basketball player?
Well, that would be Teen Wolf.
That would be Teen Wolf.
Boom. Woo! Gotta win.
See, I knew you'd get that one.
Not because I've watched the TV show, but because I know Michael J. Fox's original movie. So.
That's right.
All right, here is your final question, just for shits and giggles. This 2001 film involves a religious, fanatical father taking his two sons on a divine mission to kill demons, as all families do.
Right. You said it's a 2001 film?
Yeah, 2001.
Say Supernatural? No, I'm kidding. No, 2001, family killing demons. I have no idea. That's not a movie I'm familiar with.
A movie called Frailty. I'm not sure what that is.
Never seen that one.
Me neither. All right. Well, whew, I got to win. Unbelievable. Everybody, mark your calendars. It's one of the rare Dave wins. But for the year now, I have closed it to 3 wins for Ike, 2 wins for me. So I'm getting there, back in the hunt a little bit. So not too bad, not too bad. So let's take a break. And when we come back, we will have our news, birthdays, and anniversaries. So stick around. Make sure you subscribe to listen to their screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams, that is Listen, the number 2 in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spread the news. Spread the news. Spread the news. And welcome back with the news. All right, horror fans, we got some good news for you. We have a lot of birthdays and anniversaries and whatnot, mm-hmm. So let's go ahead and rock and roll. Starting strong, we are being given reports that Blumhouse is developing a new My Bloody Valentine movie. Blumhouse has sort of been on a spree of new developments and different projects that they're a part of. So another remake of this film is, I guess, inevitable. The last remake was good, so maybe this one will be too, you know?
Well, yeah, but here's the thing. They're not saying remake on this, though. They've not been saying a remake. So I wonder, is it a remake? Or is it some kind of continuation of the franchise? Everything I've read leads me to suspect, and again, there's nothing official, nothing been announced, so nobody knows, but it's kind of sounds like to me that it's not a remake. It's a continuation of the franchise, which is super intriguing. So
interesting.
Let's see what they can do with that.
We shall see if they do a continuation. Maybe our boy Jensen will be back in this one. Maybe,
but he's a, I don't know, he's a busy booger.
He might be a little too famous for that now.
He's out there making the boys and doing all that stuff. You never know, though.
True. Never know. Never say never. All right. Moving on. Tom Savini will be making an appearance in Terrifier 3, which is scheduled at theaters October 11th, 2024. Obviously, Dave and I are beyond excited for Terrifier 3. If I could jump into a time machine right now and fast forward October, I would certainly do so. But until then, we keep getting, you know, lots of great news, lots of great information. And of course, Tom Savini is an icon and a legend in the horror industry. So him being a part of this project just makes it even better, better, better.
Yeah, I mean, it's so cool. We get all these guys that it made came to, right? Felisa Rose was in the last one, and this, you know, and everything else. And it's so cool to see these people pop up in movies and do cameos and things like that. I mean, and, you know, Savini's done his, you know, fair share of acting over the years, not, you know, not just the effects stuff, but yeah, it's, I love this stuff because to me, that only whatever enforces the fact that we know these, the whole whatever fuzz on the lens and the Damien Leone and all these guys behind the Terrier, they're fans, right? They love horror movies because anybody that's doing it for anything else, you're not going to put Tom Savini in it for a cameo, right? That's not, you don't care about that. But if you're a fan, you do. If you love horror movies, you do. And it's cool because that's this kind of shit we would do if we could make a horror movie and had that kind of ability. It's like, you know, if I'm making a horror movie, hell yeah, I'm putting Thomas Savini in it for a cameo. You know, that's great. So I don't know. I'm so excited for the movie, and every little thing just adds to it.
That's right. Every little snippet, every little news release just gets us more and more pumped. All right. Moving on into some video game territory. Those who pre-order the Killer Clowns from Outer Space video game have gotten early access to the game as of May the 28th. The game is set to release June the 4th on Steam, PlayStation 5, and the Xbox Series. Of course, you know, we talked about this a little bit. This news of the video game dates back a few months or more. So we've talked about this a handful of times. Dave and I are both very stoked to hear about this and to, you know, get to play this eventually. And this is just another release of a horror video game that is taking already existing IPs and turning it into a fun game for all. So we're obviously very excited about that.
Yeah, I am. I mean, you know, it's like I'm not the world's hugest video game guy, right? I love video games, you know, but, you know, my prime of video games is not the current stuff. You know, I go back a little bit. But anyway, but I do love Killer Clowns, and everybody knows how much I love Killer Clowns, especially, again, how many times have we said this? I think I've said this before, right? I sit here recording, looking across at my replica, you know, popcorn gun, and I think, did I not just say this like last?
Seems like I just
said this recently. Whoa, it's so weird. Anyway, I love Killer Clowns. So this is a game that I will find a way to get it for some platform. And, you know, I didn't pre-order it, so I'm not getting it early. But it's exciting, right? It's exciting that we get this and that we get it now and that this franchise at least is out there in some way. And, you know, it's very cool. It's exciting, right? It's going to be a fun game, right? This is the kind of movie or whatever that it just perfectly parlays itself into a game. It's going to work perfectly.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I've heard generally good reviews from the people who have gotten early access. Cause I poke around on Facebook, TikTok, a couple different sites. So I have seen some people putting out early reviews. So they're generally positive. Obviously, they got early access. So a lot of times they use early access as a way to kind of iron out bugs. Yeah. So obviously there's going to be some bugs to be anticipated. But yeah, from everything I can see and tell, everyone seems to like it for the most part. So, you know, that's always a good thing.
Yeah. Because as we're recording, it's the day of the early release, right? So there are people out there playing it. And, but the cool thing is, right. I mean, it's the early release, right. It's a perk to get people to pre-order. But one of the best things about modern video games is that if there are bugs, if there are issues, even after the official release, right now in this day and age, right. They have patches and they have fixes for these things, right. It's not cartridges anymore where you're stuck with what the final product is. And don't get me wrong. I'm not knocking that because I'm a cartridge guy, but you know, that's the cool thing, right? If there are bugs and whatever, there's patches and fixes for these things now. You know, they can add to it with downloadable content. These games can be very fluid and very organic and growing. If the game does well and it's successful, it's just going to grow and they can add things to it and add more characters and more whatever, you know, whatever they it can always be improved upon and added to. And, I don't know. It's always exciting when a horror franchise gets a cool game, and Killer Clowns is just, I mean, it's one of my favorites. So.
Yeah. And small side note, cause you mentioned something and because my brain is the way it is, I have to say something about it. I miss the day where you could buy a game and you just bought the game and that was the end of it. I'm a huge fan of Resident Evil. And one of my biggest gripes about modern Resident Evil is that you'll buy the game, right? And they'll say, we're going to have some downloadable content in like 2 to 3 months, 4 months, whatever, however long it takes, 6 months, a year. I mean, it just varies depending on the game and, you know, everything else. But, you know, and it's fine. As long as the game is complete, like when I get the game and like I can play it through, that's fine. I'll wait for downloadable content. What I hate is that what they do is that they say, oh, the downloadable content is considered a separate purchase, so you need to drop another $20, $30
yep.
on the downloadable content, where I already spent $60 on the main fucking game.
Yep.
And it just drives me crazy because back in the day, you could pick up a game and you got all the shit that came with it with that game. And
yeah,
I don't want to sound like a boomer because I know it's 2024 and everything else, and I know that this is just how video games are. But if a video game franchise just said, look, here's the game in its entirety, or they even said there's all the DLC for this game is going to be free, I would be beyond excited. I would support that industry, that specific gaming company. Even if I hated the game, I would be like, the fact that you put it all on the game itself or said it was going to be free, to me, that is a step in the right direction. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, with video games, right, there was always, almost always, hidden content, right? Right. You beat the game, whatever, with such and such character, and you unlock stuff, right? You unlocked new levels, new worlds, new characters, whatever, right? There was perks to beating the game or achieving things. And now it's like they've taken that hidden stuff and monetized it. And yeah. And it's hard for me, especially. And maybe it's part of the reason I don't dive into video games, because my mind, I'm wired to be a completist. So it's like, if I have a game that I enjoy or whatever else, it's like, I want everything, right? I want every character, everything I can do. So it's like, they start putting out stuff like that, I'm going to want to buy it. And it's, so it's like, whatever, I'll just pass. Right. And unless it's something I really want. And, to circle back around, Killer Clowns might be one of those that has me hooked in, and we'll see. I'm sure there might be some downloadable content, but we'll see what happens, right? I do get it, right, to a degree, trying to make a few extra bucks, and it's just the way things are. But
and here's my thing is, you're already paying $60 for the game. If they bumped it up to $65 and they said if you pay this extra $5 or even $10, you know what I mean? You get more than $10. You start getting into the realm of this is a little too much of an ask. But you can, because a lot of times they'll offer things like, because I play another game called Dragon Ball, that's called Dragon Ball Fighters, and it's a fighting game. And they had, I don't know if it's still there. It's kind of an older game now. Well, not older, but like 6 or 8, 7 years old, I think. But they had a season pass or some shit like that where you could buy that externally from the game and it gives you full access to any of the downloadable content that comes out after. But typically the season passes for these games are like $30 to $40, which is essentially a game in of itself. So you're spending upwards of $100 just to be able to play the game in its entirety. And it's just like, why are microtransactions and like, why is this the new reality? And it doesn't always work. Like, for instance, there was, I can't remember what game it was. It was like one of the Star Wars Battlefront games that came out in the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically had to backtrack and say, well, we're going to remove the microtransactions from this because it was failing. Yep. Because people were tired of nickel and diming themselves to get characters they wanted and stuff.
Yep, absolutely.
But anywho, that was just a random, tantrum that I had to throw. There I could go. Do a whole hot take about that, but
there you go.
Maybe another day. Anywho, moving on. Upcoming birthdays, starting a strong May 30th, 1964. Mark Shepard, otherwise known as Crowley from Supernatural. Actually, weirdly enough, Mark Shepard was supposed to be at Pensacon this year, but he suffered like a pretty major heart attack. I believe like a few weeks before. And you would be incredibly surprised by like the number of people who were like posting on like that the Pensacola Comic Con page, like, is Mark Shepard still coming? And they were like, well, no, he had a massive heart attack. What do you mean? Is he still coming?
Yeah. I love Mark Shepard. And then, I mean, not only he was a Supernatural. He's one of the best of Supernatural. He was so amazing. Yeah. But I mean, he was in Firefly. He's been in X-Files. Dude's done a lot. And, such a cool guy. He's just such a good actor. Such a cool guy. One of my favorites.
Yeah, I'd like to meet him sometime. I feel like he'd be a really cool guy to meet, like at a con or something like that. Now, yeah,
you're always hearing wild stories about people saying stuff to him about, oh, my mom's a big fan, and he's always like, oh, well, call her up. But You know, and he's like FaceTiming with people's moms while they're like their stuff. He's just all the time doing cool stuff, like, because he's just, he just loves, you know, he's a people person, it sounds like, and such a cool dude. Yeah, I'd definitely like to meet him.
It's funny, I was looking at his IMDb just now, and he's acted for a good number of years, obviously back to like the 90s and, you know, all that good stuff. But like, he was in the show Charmed, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, I remember watching like reruns of that show when I was like a kid.
Yeah, it blew my mind the first time I watched Supernatural, and I saw him, I was like, who is that guy? Why? What do I know him from? And then I was like looking through, and I was like, holy shit, he was in Firefly. And I was like, whoa, that blows my mind. And yeah, he's like, I can't remember his character name in Firefly. I could picture him and everything, but he was great. But he's good at everything.
Of course. He is a man of many, 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 many talents. And to answer your question, he played Badger in Firefly.
Badger! Yeah, that's it. Yeah, Badger.
All right. Well, enough gushing over Mark Sheppard. Moving on. June 1st, 1977, Danielle Harris, known for her role in, Halloween 4 and 5. And she played, remind me who she played.
Jamie Lloyd.
That's right. Jamie Lloyd.
Yeah.
Almost forgot her name. And she was also, was it Annie Brackett in the remakes?
Yeah, in the remakes. Yeah, in the remakes. In the Rob Zombies. Yeah, she was in that. Yeah, she's pretty cool. She, you know, is very, appreciative and enjoyed her time in Halloween. You know, she's done some other horror movies, right? But those are obviously the biggest pieces she's done. And, yeah, I mean, lots of people have clamored saying they need to do something, you know, revisit Jamie and, you know, bring her back in somehow. So, who knows, right? With the future, who knows what the future of Halloween will bring? And maybe we'll see that at some point. Who knows?
Yeah, I'd love to. I watched an interview because she was talking about like the problems that she had, because she was supposed to come back for Curse of Michael Myers. And I watched an interview where she was kind of talking about like some of the struggles, because she was still young at the time. So there was some back and forth about, you know, how to get her to work while still being, you know, underage, basically. Yeah. But I'd love to see her come back as Jamie Lloyd at some time, you know, even if it's like in a television format where her kids get hunted by Michael or, you know, something like that. I feel like that could be really cool.
Yep. Never know.
That's right. All right. And our last birthday for this week, June 2nd, 1978, the man, the myth, the legend, Justin Long, known for his roles in Jeepers Creepers, Drag Me to Hell, Tusk, Barbarian, It's a Wonderful Knife, and many, many, many more. Specifically, I want to give him major kudos for his role in It's a Wonderful Knife. He looked inhuman in that movie, and he was so great.
Yeah. I love Justin Long. But no matter what he's in, ever, I don't care what he ever does. I don't care if he goes out and wins 6 Academy Awards in a row. Justin Long will always be the dude from Dodgeball to me, because he was so funny in that movie. And I will forever think of that edit extra thing they did of it, of just all the clips and takes of him getting hit by the dodgeball. And it was just, it's so funny. But yeah, I love Justin. I mean, he was great in Jeepers Creepers, right? Tusk is a disturbing movie. It really is. It just, it gives you creeps. And I believe we talked to Drag Me to Hell. I think it was the last episode, right? With the movie anniversary, I believe, here recently. And And from everything you hear, he's just a good dude.
He was also in the Goosebumps TV show. I just remembered that.
Yeah, there you go.
Man, he does everything, literally. All right. Well, Justin, hit us up. We'd love to interview you. I'm just kidding. I mean, and I'm not kidding. I would love to talk to him. He might be a little above our pay grade.
Yeah. Slide my DMs there, Jay Long.
That's right. All right. Moving on, upcoming movie anniversaries, starting out incredibly strong. This is a fantastic movie, Academy Award winning, one of Dave's all-time favorite films, May 30th, 2003, Wrong Turn.
Yeah, okay, first of all, no Academy Award winnings.
No.
Second of all, not my favorite movie, but not my most hated movie of all time. I mean, It's no Cabin in the Woods.
Right. It's not Cabin in the Woods, but he has voiced his dislike of this movie as well.
I don't know why. I don't know why, because I love how do you say her name? Elisa Darsh. I can't remember. I don't want to butcher her name. The lady that's in it that plays, she's in Buffy also.
Yeah.
I love her, right? I love her and stuff she's done. And I mean, She was in, you know, whatever, Jay and Silent Bob Strikes Back and all this stuff. But this movie just didn't work for him for some reason. I'm sorry. I don't know why. But
he doesn't hate it as much as Cabin in the Woods, but it's up there. It's on his list.
It's not close to that, man. Cabin in the Woods. Oh, my God. That sometime I should just do a hot take on how much I hate Cabin in the Woods. I don't know. I'm going to trigger some people because I'm sure there's people out there that's probably their favorite movie in the world. But just move on before I puke.
Well, moving on to an actually great movie, May 30th, 2008. 5 years later, The Strangers. Now, we haven't sat down and done like a full ranking of The Strangers movies, which I think we should do after all three of these new movies come out. We should sit down and do like an official like ranking of all the movies. Yeah. But Dave and I both love The Strangers. We talked about it a little bit last week with the Strangers Chapter 1 review. But I mean, we've talked about it before. Anytime anything Strangers related comes up, we always pitch back to how good the first Strangers movies was.
Yeah, I'm telling you this. I cannot express enough this first, the original Strangers movie. Literally, Monica and I went and saw it in theaters. We literally came home and we literally slept with the lights on that night because it disturbed me. It just because it felt so possible. It just like, you know what? That happens, right? And there was so much about it that just irked me. And I love this. Even now, I get chills when I watch it at certain parts. And I love this movie.
It's very good. It's one of those movies that I think have aged very well from the mid, late 2000s.
Yeah, I think it holds up.
Yeah, and much to Dave's sadness, this is not one of Kayla's favorite Strangers movies.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, man. Which is quite possibly going. This is going to be a very soon upcoming wise rebuttal, but it might end up being couple versus couple because we're not a fan of the new movie or the what's it called? Pray at Night.
Pray at Night, yeah.
Yeah, and you said Kayla, her favorite was Pray at Night, and I'm like, that's a sin. So might need to be explored and discussed a little bit more.
And here's the thing, too, and it's like, I see where she's coming from. I'm not saying that Pray at Night is my favorite movie, but I can see why someone might like that one over the original. But yeah, I think that'll be a good conversation that, you know, we can have at some point, because I think Kayla would have a pretty strong opinion for that.
Not me. So yeah, we may need to put a pin on this so that we can discuss this later.
There you go. Good stuff. All right. Well, you guys remember that. Everybody online, keep an eye out. Maybe soon. Mm-hmm. All right. Moving on. June 2nd, 2023. The Boogeyman. I'm the Boogeyman. I'm going to get you. That's not the same Boogeyman. That's the WWE wrestler. Great, great character. Not the same. We have reviewed this film back in, I would presume, last year, 2023, when it came out. It's a PG-13 movie. Has Sophie Thatcher in it, who plays another character in a show called Yellow Jackets that I really like. So I did like that about it. But the full review of this, of course, is in the archive.
Yeah, I don't off the top of my head remember much about this movie. I know it's based on a Stephen King story book, something, I believe. Yeah, I know we reviewed it, but just right off the top of my head, I don't remember a whole lot about it, and I don't remember what we thought of it. So yeah, so everybody just go back and listen in the archives then. But I think what we ought to start doing is I ought to start posting these movie anniversaries up weekly as a post on social media so that and encourage people to do rewatches of them on the anniversary of them. And you know, me included even, because again, I don't remember much about the Boogeyman, but you know, hey, the anniversary is coming up on June 2nd. That's prime time to rewatch it.
Gotcha. There you go. Prime time, baby. Mm-hmm. All right, moving on. June 3rd, 1983, Psycho 2, Electric Boogaloo. It's not called Electric Boogaloo, but I've never seen Psycho 2, but I have a feeling that Electric Boogaloo may be an apt description.
It's not that bad. It's not that bad. No, it's not that bad. And it is not Electric Boogaloo level, trust me. But and this is coming from a dude who really likes the first Breaking. And yeah. But that's a story for a different podcast. No, it's not that bad. That's just what I'm gonna say. It's not that bad.
Fair enough. I've never seen it, so I can't speak to it, but I will take your word on that. Maybe one day I'll get an itching to watch all the Psycho movies, kind of like I did with The Howling.
Give him a shot. I'm gonna stand on this. I think you'll enjoy the Psycho franchise as a whole better.
You know, I can't imagine that you're wrong. Because the depth to which the Howling movies disturb me with their quality, I imagine that you're not wrong. But maybe another day.
There you go.
All right. Moving on. June 4th, 1982, Poltergeist, the OG. I think recently the remake had an anniversary as well.
Yeah.
I have seen this movie. It's been a hot minute, but I do recall it being very good.
It is very good. Yeah, it is great. I just watched this not too awful long ago for some reason. I'm not sure what triggered that in my mind, but it's great. Love it. Poltergeist is a great movie.
Very much so. Love a good Poltergeist. Love a good spooky ghost movie. All right. And then moving on to June 4th, 2010, Splice. I actually do like this movie. It's been a long time since I've watched it, but this movie deeply disturbed me when I watched it many moons ago. You know, the thought of a genetically, like a, basically an organism that's created without like parents, it's just a creature. It's hermaphroditic and murderous. And it is probably one of the more disturbing, like, creature flicks that I've ever seen, especially for the new age, if you will.
Yeah. It's a little disturbing. And, as far as, you know, kind of modern horror, it's pretty good.
There you go. I'll have to check it out again sometime. I'm pretty sure it's streaming somewhere. I'm not sure where, but I'll have to check it out again just to refresh my brain.
Yeah, I would think so, yeah.
All right. Moving on to June 4th of 2021, a mere 11 years later, The Conjuring, The Devil Made Me Do It. You know, this movie is not the strongest in the Conjuring universe franchise. It is not a bad movie by any chance. But I think that it being created and made and then also dispersed during COVID probably hurt it a little bit. The other Conjuring movies, the first two Conjuring movies, 1 and 2, are in my opinion, significantly better films. And then, of course, there's other movies in the franchise like The Nun, Annabelle movies that I think also surpass this movie. This movie's not bad. It's just it departs a little bit from the, I guess, the spooky ghost stuff, and kind of takes a twist to a more realistic format because it's based on a true story. It's based on a true story of a man who did in fact say that the devil made him do it. Mm-hmm. I don't think he got off that. It's not like the OJ, if it doesn't fit it, acquit. You know, rest in peace, OJ, the juice.
Don't rest it in. Don't rest in peace.
I'm just kidding. Anyway,
just rest.
That's right. Just rest. But I'm sure you've seen this, Dave, haven't you?
Yeah, I've seen this. And I don't, it wasn't one of my favorite of the franchise, but it's not bad. But I've seen all the Conjurings. But it's okay.
Yeah. Like I said, it makes for a good watch, especially if you're watching the whole series. You know, if you sit down and watch it, you're like, yeah, okay, that was good. I'm glad I watched it. But I wouldn't go out of my way to be like, oh, this is my favorite Conjuring movie, you know?
Yeah, I mean, if you're watching it, you know, watching the franchise through, yeah, it's okay. But it's not one of those that you're like, oh, if I'm just going to pick a Conjuring, this is the one I want to do. I mean, you know, not for me at least. But, you know, right. Who knows? Some people, maybe.
We may have just offended a whole group of people. Who knows?
Yeah, between my wrong turn comments and this. So it might be the same people, right? If there is somebody out there who we have hit in the crossroads of you love Wrong Turn and The Conjuring, The Devil Made Me Do It, reach out to us, because we need to talk to you.
You have a conversation.
Yeah. I want to know why.
Explain yourself.
No, to each their own.
It's true. All right. June 5th, 2015, Insidious Chapter 3, which I didn't realize that Kayla shares a birthday with Insidious Chapter 3. She also was born on the 5th of June.
Not in 2015.
Not in 2015. No. She would be much too young to be my wife. She'd be nine years old.
Or there's discussions we'd have to have with you.
Yes, there would be many a discussion to have. She is only a couple years younger than me. I think a year and like 6 months.
There you go.
Okay, well. Just in case anybody was worried. but anywho, Insidious Chapter 3, Dave and I both talked about this on a previous episode during our Insidious franchise review episode prior to our Red Door review.
Yep. So I'm not much to say about it. We'll hold comments, right? You want to know what we think about Insidious Chapter 3? You want to know where we rank it in the Insidious franchise? Go listen to the episode.
Damn straight. Damn Skippy.
We want the listen and the download.
There you go.
Go listen. We're not giving this away to you. Go listen.
That's right. I ain't giving you shit. Anyways. Moving on to some upcoming releases. Got a couple of good ones. One of which we will be reviewing next episode. So, first things first, In a Violent Nature hits theaters on May 31st. The movie is described as when a locket is removed from a collapsed fire tower in the woods that entombs the rotting corpse of Johnny, a vengeful spirit spurred on by a horrific 60-year-old crime, his body is resurrected and becomes hell-bent on retrieving it. This movie will be reviewing next episode. And I am excited for this movie because if I remember correctly, this one is shot from the perspective of the killer, is it not?
Yeah, it is. It is a slasher shot from the perspective of the killer, supposedly. And it has gotten those kind of reviews of people that have seen it, screened it ahead of time. There has been some of that people, supposedly at least, people getting a little nauseated and stuff and whatever else. So, I'm all about it. I want another good slasher. It's something that, you know, not going PG-13. Let's turn up the heat and let's you know, put the slash in slasher. And so I'm excited about this, and we'll see what happens. And we'll talk about it next episode.
There you go. Need something to hold me over until Terrifier 3, Berber. Mm-hmm.
All right. Maybe it's Johnny.
Maybe it's Johnny. Maybe it is. Johnny's the new Art. Just kidding. There is no one that can replace Art.
I wouldn't go that far.
Our beloved Art the Clown, David Howard Thornton. All right. Mm-hmm. Before we get all teary-eyed, Stop Motion is coming to Shudder on May 31st. And you can also look in our archives for a review of this film. So there you go. You have something in theaters and something on streaming. So. Mm-hmm. Very, very good stuff on the docket. So
there you
that's
go.
All I can say.
Absolutely.
All right. There you have it. We've made it through our very long news, birthdays, movie anniversaries, and upcoming releases. You stick around long enough, you'll be here to listen to our official review of the film Infested. Don't move away.
This is Wrestling Nostalgia, the podcast that dives into wrestling history. Hey, wrestling fans, I'm Dave Dynasty, and if you enjoy podcasts that are knowledgeable and history-driven, then Wrestling Nostalgia is for you. With great guests and fun interviews, there are over 200 episodes in our archives. We chat with several first-time guests and often cover topics not discussed on other podcasts. Look up Wrestling Nostalgia on your favorite podcast platform and visit all of our links at linktree.com/WrasslePod. That is linktr.ee/RASSLEPOD. And remember, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and keep on growing. All right. Welcome back to Listen to the Script. Hopefully you didn't move away, right? Hopefully you didn't pack up, move. Just because of our podcast.
That was a threat.
But again, once again, if for whatever reason, something we have said or done has caused you just to pack up and move residences, please reach out because that's curious to me. I don't know what it would be, but I'd like to engage in a discussion about this. But for now, we're going to discuss Infested, which was released on April 26th on Shudder. and I hope I don't butcher all these names. It was written by Sebastian Vanacek and Florent Bernard, starring Theo Christine and Sophia Lassafre. This movie has got a release internationally. I think Shudder is the one that brought it to the U.S. domestically. And I know we've gone long so far in this episode with a lot of things. So this review is not going to be super long because there's not a lot to say. And I don't mean that in a negative way per se. Infested was all right. It was pretty solid. Spiders are creepy, right? Spiders are always a good go-to. And these spiders, right? The way they get into it is all right. This guy's what do you want to call him? He's I can't remember his name. Caleb. Caleb is his name. The main guy. He's kind of a hustler, right? He sells shoes and he's doing this, but at his core, you can tell he's a good guy, right? His mom is, and again, there's a lot of spoilers here. His mom, is no longer alive. He has kind of I don't know what you call it, like a surrogate mother who's kind of looked over him a little bit, and he's very good to her. But anyway, he's out there, you know, doing his thing. But he has a love of exotic animals, and he has several things, right? Several different kinds of lizard things and snake things and insect things or whatever you want to call it. And he gets this spider. I can't remember what they call it. They have a name for it. Some kind of desert spider thing. I don't know. But I don't know what it is. Something, right? Something's weird with them. Something's going on. It gets free. It's multiplying quickly, and they constantly throughout this movie, they're growing, right? They're getting bigger and bigger and bigger until the end of the movie. They're pretty decent size. Again, the movie's okay, right? It's subtitled. It's a foreign language film. But it's nothing. I don't know. I don't think it really breaks the mold on anything here. It's fun. It's a fun watch. It is suspenseful because they play into it a lot with the darkness and the light, with flashlights and things. So, when these spiders are in the light, in the spotlight, in a flashlight, they don't move, right? So that's kind of a way to keep them at bay. But, you know, so they use that to build suspense. And there are suspenseful, right? Because as you watch the movie, you're awaiting the next encounter with these spiders. And it does, they do a pretty good job. It is a fun little kind of a creature-y spider movie. But this is, you know, it's not my strong forte of horror movies I go to. I do like a good creature film, but this one doesn't really slide into the wheelhouse of the kind of creature movies but it is a pretty fun movie to watch. Nothing spectacular, but a good enough film that I would recommend, you know, people give it a watch. It's not going to redefine horror for you. It's not going to redefine creature movies. It's not going to redefine spider movies for you or whatever you want to say. But it is well enough done in it. And from what I looking through IMDb a little bit at some of these actors and things, it doesn't look like they've done a lot. This kind of seems like a relatively inexperienced cast and whatever else. So, you know, not is pretty good for their first offering. And it is, like I said, it is kind of creepy. It does have a lot of suspense. And it does well. It does get a little, I guess you would say pseudo-political kind of in the last bit of the movie, just because, and a little bit throughout the movie, right? Because of race and this and that, the guy, Caleb, gets mistaken a lot, or people call him a lot, that he thinks he's into something, he's dealing drugs or whatever. And he just hustles shoes. Right, he's selling shoes and things. And at the end, there is an encounter. Towards the end, there is an encounter with the police that gets tense, and they think these guys are something up instead of being the victims. I don't know. I don't know if that really added anything to the movie, but it, it was kind of a whatever you want to call it, an action-y scene. I don't know that it, you know, added any depth to the movie, but I get where they're coming from with it. But as far, you know, if you're into that kind of thing and you're into movies with spiders and creepy crawlies and, you know, kind of creaturey things that are, you know, give you a spook or whatever else, it's a fun little watch. So, do you have much to add to that? I don't feel like there's a whole hell of a lot to say about it, really. I mean, and I don't mean that in a negative way. It's just, it's not a deep movie, really.
Yeah. You know, and here's what I will say. First and foremost, I was trying to remember what language the movie was in. It's in French.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It was
French. It is the French. Always love the French.
I don't know that's how it works, but okay.
No, I'm just kidding. You know, it's weird. Speaking of the French apparently don't like us very much. I'm not quite sure why. I don't know exactly what we did to the French, but anyway, not all French people, but just like as a general, like online consensus, a lot of French people don't like Americans. I don't know. Anyway,
look around. I don't like a lot of
Americans. True. That is true. But listen, anytime somebody comes against America, especially the French or the British, I get like all red, white, and blue, and I'm like, listen here. I'm just kidding. Anywho, back to the movie and not my stupidity. like you said, the movie was not horrible by any means. I do like sort of how they, like you said, they really played up on the use of the dark and some of the, I guess you could say, tricks that they used to kind of make things feel a little more believable. But like you said, this movie's not breaking any molds, is not going to win any major awards. It had a very interesting premise, but it's a premise we've seen before. You know, I've seen a great movie with David Arquette called, Eight-Legged Freaks.
Yeah.
That, you know, that's, in essence is the same movie. I'm just
kidding. It's always your go-to spider movie.
It is. I love Eight-Legged Freaks. I think that movie sincerely will go down in history as a good bad movie.
It's a totally different concept. Where it's hell of spiders, so goddamn it, I'm going to mention Eight-Legged Freaks.
That is damn straight. I'm just kidding, though. Eight-Legged Freaks is a different movie. It is a completely different premise. But, like you said, the concept of spiders as the main antagonist, or spiders that evolve or grow or get stronger or get bigger, it's sort of like an ongoing like a trope when it comes to like spider monster movies, or any bug related movie for that matter. I think it's just kind of like what they do. It's the bigger they are, the scarier they are, or the more of them there are, the scarier they are. And it's just, it is what it is. It wasn't a bad movie, but like you said, I'm not going to write home about it. It's a standard movie. It's a standard horror movie. It did have a couple of good scares, good cinematography, pretty decent acting from what I could understand. You know, sometimes I will say that part of speaking only one language is that, you know, with subtitles, you kind of just have to rely that the person is correctly conveying those emotions, because sometimes they do things differently. There are a lot of cultural differences, even with just the French. You know, in America, we do sometimes have expressions or phrases that are potentially different than that of overseas. So, you know,
this is why the French hate us, and everybody hates, because of this. Well, you know, they do things differently overseas, and they just see, here you go.
I'm just, you know what I mean, though. Like, for instance, like,
no. Yeah, I mean, there are cultural differences that sometimes don't parlay over into subtitles. And that's the fault of the receiving person, right? The person not understanding the language, you sometimes can lose a dimension, right, when you don't understand the language. And I'm not a huge proponent of subtitle movie. Never have been. This one, I don't think it lost much because of the subtitles per se, but it's, I don't know. And it's not that I can't appreciate the movie when there's subtitles. For me personally, I just get so caught up in the reading that I'm always afraid I'm going to miss something sometimes. And I don't know. So it's a me thing. With that, you know, they tried to add a little bit with this movie of, you know, because it does have, you know, Caleb, there's his sisters in it, his former best friend. They tried to add some of that human element and this tension of, you know, why he questions his sister, why you forgot me. But it's, that's just, they put that in there, but I don't, you know, it doesn't, it's like you have that in there with spiders. They don't, I don't know. It's like, they don't fully parlay through the human element and those aspects and the conflict and between the humans and the characters in it. They don't fully explain all the spider aspect, which is okay, right? It's again, we have said this before. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. You don't have to explain everything. Sometimes it's okay just to make a movie. Sometimes it actually is to your benefit, because if you try to over explain, sometimes the movie comes up short and it feels, you know, a little too much, too dense, maybe. You know, I don't know. Again, the movie was fine. Unfortunately, it's just not my cup of tea. That's not knocking it, saying it's bad. It's just not my thing, right? It doesn't fit into the wheelhouse of, you know, of certain other movies. You know, unfortunately, it's like we've watched movies that have altered my vision of found footage films, right? This is not the kind of movie that's really altering my vision on subtitled type movies or movies that, with, you know, the bugs and things. Not that they're bad and not that I hate them per se, but this is not a movie that just I watched and it just wowed me so much to open my mind a little more to them. Now, you know, it didn't negatively impact me either. You know, it's just kind of like, yeah, that's kind of what I've always seen, right? It's okay, but it's nothing that just makes me want to go out and seek more.
Right.
And it's not, you know, good or bad. It just is for me. And I know, you know, some people probably love this movie, right? There's probably a lot because I can't see, right, with certain people, certain aspects. There's things that they would probably enjoy. It's just not in my wheelhouse of movies that I seek out. And you know, but it's okay. And I am appreciative, and I do understand the value of Shudder bringing a movie like this to us here in the U.S. though. Because this is a movie that, right, didn't get a theatrical release, wasn't out there on anything else. And I am glad that Shudder brings a lot of these foreign horror movies to us, make them available, you know, for us in the U.S. and worldwide. Because, again, it's not that it's a bad movie, and I'm glad I had the opportunity to watch it, to formulate my opinion. I feel like I'm better as a horror fan for having the opportunity and having seen it than not to have the opportunity and not be able to see it. You know what I mean? I know that sounds weird, but I'm glad that we at least have these at our fingertips to watch.
No, I was going to say that too, is that Shudder and Screambox, they both do a really good job of, you know, bringing movies into our periphery that we would normally not get. Yeah. You know what I mean? Movies like this, or like, there's another movie on Shudder. I think it's called The Sadness. It's a Japanese film. Easily one of the most disturbing movies I've ever seen, but it's so good. And like, I would have never had a chance to watch it if it had not been for Shudder. And I mean, that's the same thing with a lot of movies on Shudder, you know, and a lot of Shudder, you know, creative things like It's a Wonderful Knife and yeah, other things, I mean, like that.
Well, we discussed the movie Holy Shit, right? Yeah. And I really enjoyed the movie. I thought it was really fun. And again, if it hadn't been, I don't remember which off the top of my head, which service it was on, but had it not been for them, I would have never gotten to see that movie.
Exactly.
And it was a fun movie. I really enjoyed it. So, while this movie necessarily maybe didn't resonate with me personally, I am still very appreciative, that we live in such a great age that we get to see these things and we get the opportunity, to see them so easily, right? They're at our fingertips, just sitting on our couch or laying in bed, and there they are. And I'm constantly, month after month, I am so appreciative and so blown away by the services that Shudder and Screambox provide to us as horror fans. It's remarkable, and I love it. It's so many movies that they bring to us. It's wonderful. It's just a great thing. Yeah. So, again, not much else to say. So let's rank this sucker. We've gone a little long. Let's rank it and get out of here. Like I said, it was okay, but I don't know that I can quite give it a, I'm going to give it a 2.5 out of 5. It wasn't bad, but it's not one of those movies. And I know some people are going to hate this because I've seen people give it positive reviews online, and it's one of those that's weird to me because it's not that it was bad, but just say from my personal perspective, it's not my thing. So it's not that I didn't have some enjoyment, but it's not one of those movies that I would say it's a pretty good, okay movie. It's one of those like, I don't know. I don't hate it, but I'm going to give it a 2.5 out of 5 for Infested. So Ike, where are you throwing it out?
Yeah, you know, and here's the thing too. Before I rate it, I just want to say that I'm not like a huge fan of creature flicks to begin with. Like, when it comes to like explicitly like this is about like a monster, creature, animal, beast type thing, I'm not like a huge proponent of those movies. It's just not my jive. Just like, you know, Dave is not the hugest on found footage, you know. So, you know, when it comes to like creature films as it is, like, it's not like my bread and butter, you know. I'd prefer a slasher or a ghost movie or some shit like that. So with that being said, I hate to do it, but I'm gonna do it. I'm just gonna give it a 2.5 out of 5 as well. You know, I didn't want to give it a 3 because it's also just based on enjoyment. And it wasn't that I didn't enjoy it, it was just that it wasn't the most enjoyable. And that's kind of where you have to leave it. You know, you just can't. I mean, what else can you say?
Yeah, again, if you like creature-y type movies, you're probably going to get more enjoyment out of this than we did. You know, but I don't know, because it's not our cup of tea. Maybe that's why we see some of the shortcomings a little more than, you know, someone who enjoys these type of things could probably overlook some of those a little bit more than we could. So, but then again, don't let that skew you. If you really enjoy subtitled movie foreign horror, if you really enjoy creature based movies or you know, spider bug type movies, we spoke about phobias earlier. If that's something that really you like because it triggers you, right? You really have this hate of spiders. Then definitely go out there to Shudder and give it a watch, and see what you think. So I am we spoke about it, right? Everybody knows that we love slashers, right? That's each of us have spoken. That's probably our favorite type of horror. So I'm super excited that next episode we get to review In a Violent Nature, which is coming to theaters May 31st. It's another movie. I've got my hopes up so much. I hope I'm not disappointed. I'm super excited to see this. I've got this gut feeling this is going to be one of those movies that's going to kind of really catch me. This is the kind of movie we've talked about being in the wheelhouse. This is the kind of movie that I'm just going to be like, hell yeah, give me more of this. So we'll see, right? We'll see next episode if that holds true and what we think. We're both slasher fans, so what will we think? Now we're talking about a movie that is in our wheelhouse, that is in our vein. Will we see that? Will we be one of those people that can overlook the flaws a little bit or not? So make sure you tune in next episode. See what we think. So, Ike, before we close this out, get out of here. Anything else you want to add?
Oh, man. This episode was a little all over the place. There's a lot of stuff we talked about and everything else. But a small callback, you know, if you guys go give blood, you can get typically one blood gives you a gift card, which I don't explicitly do it for that reason, but it doesn't hurt that I get a gift card because I can use it for AMC gift cards. And then I can then in turn feed my movie addiction.
There you go.
So there you go. That's something to consider.
Hey, you typically get what cookie and orange juice or something. If you need something, right. They often give you snacks.
They have grandma's cookies, which are like those prepackaged cookies.
Good shit. Grandma's are good.
I love the oatmeal raisin cookies. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's my shit. And I get a Coke Zero. So, I mean, how can you beat that?
There you go. So good. But no. Don't do it for those reasons. Do it because it's the right thing to do. There's always and forever will be a need for blood. So, So go give if you're able and capable, right? I mean, some people just can't, but if you're able, then do that. Do something nice for people, and help support those that need it. So there you go. And I know I have a fear of needles, and if you do too, Godspeed. Go. I feel your pain. I feel you. You are my brethren. So. All right, then, let's close out of there. We've come full circle talking about blood. Apparently, we're feeling a little vampire-y today.
True.
So be it. So until next episode, when, like we said, we'll be reviewing In a Violent Nature, which will be in theaters May 31st. Go check it out, right? Go watch it before we review it, so that way when we talk, you know what we're saying, right? I always feel like when I listen to a podcast about anything, right? It's always better when you have either seen or listen or know what they're talking about ahead of time.
Oh, yeah.
And you understand. So go watch this movie to A, support the movie, to support horror, but B, so that when you listen to our review and our thoughts, that you say, oh, yeah, I know that. I remember. I know what they're talking about. I saw that, too. It's just going to add a whole dimension to our show. And if you're short on cash or whatever else, go give blood. Get that gift card. I know. I just kid you. But go see the movie. Next episode, we will be reviewing it. But until then, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and always have many pleasant nightmares.